With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to this week of Beanie the Boom, the podcast. We got a very, very special guest, and this isn't a traditional special guest that we have here. This is somebody from, let's say, the other side. We are welcoming David Max from Husker Max website there and covering Nebraska. David, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
No, it's great to have you. Obviously, it's always an awesome opportunity when we get a chance to talk to somebody from the other side that knows a bit more about the program that we're going to be facing this week than we do. So very gracious to have you on. And, you know, just before we got going, man, you talked about a little bit of your Big Ten tie there. You were at Indiana,
well,
right?
Yeah, I actually went to Indiana University as a athletic trainer student in the mid-1970s, so I'm a little older than you guys. I was there the first and second year of Lee Corso's coaching tenure in Indiana.
Awesome, awesome. Nice. So you had some pretty good years in there, right?
I can remember when Corso would stop play against Michigan, when they were ahead 7-0, so he took a picture of the team in front of the scoreboard before blown out. I went to an Ohio State game with Indiana, and I think we lost 49-7. But it was a good time. So I had some had a fun time there. I had another student trainer that gave us a golf cart, to take all of our equipment out to the field. And after we unloaded, he decided to go out and sit in the middle of the O.
Wow.
And turn the key off, put his feet up on the dash. I says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I just want to take it all in." And we sat out there for a good 3 to 4 or 5 minutes before the security guard finally started walking out there. And he waited until he got almost there, then he starts it up and drives by the guard and says, "Nice day, officer."
Back on the sidelines. Hey, man, those are the type of memories that make for great stories.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My Nebraska connection, I was born and raised in Nebraska. My dad bought season tickets when they built the south end zone in 1964, and we still sit in those same seats.
Nice.
So that's where I'll be sitting on Saturday. And you know, if you guys have never been to a game in Lincoln, it's a good experience. You know, the tailgating is awesome. We have our own tailgate that we have down in the Haymarket district downtown, and it's a great atmosphere and it's a great game. I'm sure that when the game gets started, it's going to be pretty loud.
That's one of the things that me and Boone were sitting here talking about. Neither one of us have had the opportunity to plan there or even go on for a game. So we were wanting to know, what would that atmosphere be like? Is it going to be electricity going through the stadium? Obviously, playing Ohio State, anytime you get them coming into your arena, that's going to be a pretty big game. So I'd imagine everybody there in Lincoln would be pretty riled up for this one.
Well, it will be, and I said the last time game day was in Lincoln was in 2007, and I was at that game. It was against the city, unfortunately, and it was the first time I sat in the south end zone about five rows up. It's the first time when the people were jumping up and down, so I almost was fearful that the end zone was going to collapse. There was just so much bouncing. It's, you know, if you ever experienced bouncing in a cement stadium, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Dave, how you doing? This is Boom here.
Hey.
So, Dave, the question is, obviously, you know, Ohio State is coming here this year. Just give us your thoughts on the Huskers this year and how you feel they will play against the Buckeyes this year.
Well, we're kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team so far this year. We played very well for the first half against Colorado, and then second half didn't turn out too well. And, you know, we played very well against Northern Illinois. And then against Illinois, we tried to give it away. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we give four turnovers like we did against Illinois, it's going to be a blowout. You know, but, you know, so, and, but it also could be like the last game where we were within a score, at Columbus, you know, so I think the first quarter is gonna say a lot. And if like I said, we being Nebraska would have to put together four quarters of solid footballs without turnovers. And you guys would have to maybe give us one or two turnovers to make it competitive. So I think it's one of those games. If you're a betting guy, I don't think I would be betting on it because the only thing I would bet on maybe would be the overs. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. Hopefully on both sides, and that's. I said if it gets down to whoever has the ball left, then I like our chances. But like I said, the first quarter is gonna probably dictate the way things go. And also, our first possession in the third quarter is also a tell as to if first three games we scored on our opening drive, and Illinois we didn't, and then things went south from there. And the same thing with our third quarter first possession. Has not been stellar either. So if we can get a good opening possession first quarter and third quarter, I think our chances improve. But it's I said Ohio State's got a lot of talent. There's no doubt about that. And if you guys come in and play your regular game and don't make mistakes, I think it's going to be a tough hill for us to climb.
Again, we're talking to David Max of Husker Max, the website there. All you Buckeye fans, Nebraska fans, go and check that out. David, what's been the assessment of Scott Frost? Obviously, this is his second season. Last year didn't get off to the greatest of starts, but I think everybody there, probably in Lincoln, was a little bit encouraged to end the season. What's been your overall assessment and what he brings back to this program? And is he the guy that you believe can bring this program back to prominence? And you know, obviously, if they go out and do something great versus Ohio State, that'd be an amazing start to doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, Scott Frost is the right person for us, at this stage. I mean, like I said, ever since Tom Osborne left, I think we've been somewhat in a football wilderness, trying to find our way out and trying to find the person to give us the right direction. And, we've had all kinds of, coaching changes and issues where people would argue more about, Frank Solich, Tom Osborne, Bill Callahan, Mike Riley, Bo Pelini. I mean, that's not the typical Nebraska thing. When Tom Osborne was the coach there for 25 years, was an assistant, and his assistants had an average tenure of 20 years. So I think Scott is going to. I mean, Scott is obviously a Tom protege, and I'm sure that he and Tom still talk all the time. And I think that Scott is the future of our program, and. We'll have these ups and downs these first two or three years, but I'd rather be in our position right now than Michigan is in theirs, with Harbaugh, year five, having a bad week last week.
Oh, man, I know everybody's looking at that situation, especially if you're a Big Ten guy. You're paying attention to what's going on to the top schools within the conference, and Michigan isn't faring well. But back on Nebraska, I want to talk to you about some of you guys' playmakers that you have there, Adrian Martinez, Wandale Robinson. Give us your breakdown on those two guys and the importance of those individuals going against Ohio State. What is something that those two individuals specifically are going to have to do in order for Nebraska to be successful?
Well, Wandale Robinson is a double threat, running and receiving, and Martinez is a double threat, passing and running, So I think, We've got some talented backs, and I think we had some injuries last week, and we'll see how some of the other guys recover from those injuries. But I think Wandale Robinson is going to be a big leave Nebraska with some records by the time he's done. The same old Mark Martinez is already getting there as far as records are concerned. So, and it's the thing, you know, the second game, you know, against Colorado, something just seemed a little off. I mean, he just seemed to be a half a step slow or something, but last week, he took the team on his back and, you know, brought us back from 14 point deficits three different times and got us a win. So I think, and he'll both of them, he's got a sophomore and a freshman. So I think the future's bright there.
David, obviously this will be a night game, you know, out there in Nebraska. Obviously, Ohio State has a powerful offense right now that's playing very well with Justin Fields leading the way. How do you guys see your defense scoring up against the Buckeyes' offense?
Well, our defense is actually improving, but Justin Wells will be a big test. I mean, that guy's got talent. he's the real deal, and it just depends on how our defensive backs can hold up. And it's just, you know, like I said, our defense is probably our strong point. I think our weak point so far this season has been our offensive line. Mm-hmm. and it's that seems to be improving somewhat, so you know, we'll see, but you know, our defense is going to have a challenge, and I expect this to be a high scoring game on both sides.
Yeah, I love you know, what you guys have been able to do on the offensive line. This is going to be one of Ohio State's toughest matchups in terms of the offensive line and the way you guys protect Adrian Martinez. So it's going to be a tough task for our defensive line. Talk about those big uglies up front. I mean, what is it that has made them, you know, make that next step in comparison to last season?
Well, like I said, you know, back in the 90s, they were called the Pipeline. And it was, you know, what was it, the 95 team didn't have a single holding penalty and didn't have a single sack for the entire season. You know, nobody has ever done that. You know, I think it's going to take you know, a little more work for us to get to that level as far as an offensive line is concerned. And you know, Milt Kniper was a great coach in that regard, and he had a cohesive unit all the time. I mean, I talked to some of those guys, you know, like Rob Zadica and some of the other guys from that era, and you know, they were a unit. They weren't individual linemen. They were a unit, and I think that's what you know, Nebraska needs to get back to as far as, you know, cause, you know, we have a tough time running between the tackles right now.
Yeah, certainly. I can't wait to see it all unfold on Saturday. We appreciate you coming on, but really quick, Nebraska was one of my favorite teams growing up, and that sole reason was because of, in my mind, one of the greatest Nebraska football players there ever was. I know he had a lot of off-the-field stuff, but Lawrence Phillips. Real quick, I want you to rattle off your top three all-time Nebraska football players.
Well, you know, number one would be Johnny Rogers, okay. You know, with the Heisman Trophy in that. You know, it's kind of a tough who's two and three. There's a lot of people in there. I mean, you know, I'm an older guy. You know, I was in college during the 70-71 teams. You know, so I'm kind of partial to those guys. I actually ran into Jeff Kenney at a restaurant in Castle Rock, Colorado, before the Colorado game a week or two ago. And a lot of people remember Johnny Rogers' touchdown catch against Oklahoma in that game of the century in 71. But guess who scored the other four touchdowns for Nebraska? It was Jeff Kenney. So I would put Jeff Kenney up there as a running back from a legacy standpoint, and from you know, a current type you know, athlete. Oh man, that's
put you on the spot there.
Good question. That's going to put you on the spot, because no matter what I say, you know, the best thing is about the website is, you know, I'm personal friends with all these guys.
Yes.
And a lot of these guys that I would name, and it's tough to pick. But see, number three, I'm trying to think somebody recent that would be, you know, the number one. You know, you have to throw in Tommy Frazier. Mm. You know, Tommy's kind of got a bad deal with his blood clots and everything, where he couldn't play pro ball. But I think, a matter of fact, he got beat out for the Heisman by an Ohio State guy.
Indeed.
So there's you know, it's hard to narrow it down to three. But someday I'll have to come up with my all-time offensive and defensive players.
Awesome, man. So thank you for having you on. And we just talked about it briefly. You said you wouldn't take the spread if you're a betting man versus these Buckeyes, right? And although that Nebraska is a huge underdog at home, you'd be right there going with the Buckeyes, right?
Well, the thing is, you know, if Nebraska plays four quarters like they played against Northern Illinois, I would definitely take the spread, you know. But if Nebraska plays a half like they did against Colorado, I don't think it would be a safe bet. So, like I said, I don't bet against my own team.
Right. Understood.
But yeah, you know, I just to tell you on the website, we've got 150,000 pages of content. You know, so you can go on there and check on the essentials of all the games, and you can see that you guys are beating us. 6 out of 7 times. And you know, the only time that we did was the 2011 when we had the big comeback in the second half when we were down by like 3 touchdowns. Mm. So history is against us, and the rankings are against us, but I'm always optimistic.
Sounds good, man. That was David Max from Husker Max. David, it was our pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Well, right there, man. We just had David Max on from Husker Max, and no, you heard what he said, man. Talking about that spread there, obviously you know what we do.
Yeah, you already know.
We make our wagers at betdsi.com, and you know that was one from a Husker right there. So he's saying, you know what? If his butts were candy and nuts, he would go with Nebraska. But if he's being very realistic, you cut me all the way down there. If he's being very realistic, you know what he's gonna do is. All right, I mean, he's going to not take the spread.
He's
going to take Ohio State in that situation because you understand how good the Buckeyes are. So, again, at betdsi.com,
use
promo code Beanie100 to make your wagers, man, and not just on the Buckeye games, but a ton of other games. There's actually a big fight this weekend that I'm going to be at BetDSI making my bet
on,
and that's Errol Spence versus Porter. I cannot wait to watch this fight. And I'm a big boxing fan. If you guys don't know, not even just boxing, but UFC, all of that. I get every single fight that comes on. I'm a Saturday night fight guy.
Man, I tell you what.
I'm taking Errol Spence in this fight.
I tell you what. I probably would too, but Porter is a fighter, though. He's one of those guys, man.
Porter's lost a couple of times. He's so fucking wild.
It don't matter.
What do you mean, though?
He's a fighter, though. You know what I'm saying?
They're both fighters.
Yeah, of course. I get what you're saying, but he like to go 12, you know what I'm saying? But your boy Spence nice, though.
Errol Spence going to kick his ass. Yeah. But moving along, man. We will talk about these Buckeyes, man. You know, last week we just saw him go out and put up 75 points. I can't remember the last time we put up 70 points. If somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, off the top of my head, the last time that I remember us putting up 70 points was it FAU? And that's when Kenny Guyton was a quarterback for that game. Tell me if I'm wrong. Somebody will at some point in time chime in. But nonetheless.
But think about that, man. The starters didn't even play.
A lot of second half. I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah, you do. But that was just crazy to me. Like even when we was playing, you know, Tressa at least make us go out there and play a series or something. When I seen those guys sitting on the sideline like it was a preseason game, I was like, oh, snap.
Spence, you coming in with something for me?
Yeah, it was the Bowling Green game, JT Barrett.
Bowling Green's
a couple years ago.
All right. So I was a little off there.
They scored 77 in the opener last year against Oregon State.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was 77-31.
77. Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought it had been years. I'm going all the way back to Kenny Guyton when I remember seeing Urban score.
Urban's offense has always put points up when they want.
I knew they always put points up. I mean, 70 points. I mean, that's a huge thing right there to put up 70 points and to know that you can score more if you want to. And like you said, a lot of the starters didn't play in the second half. And, you know, like I said, that's what we want.
The only thing that sucks about this, and I ain't even saying like that, but for guys who want to be up for, like, awards and Heisman and stuff like
you don't
that,
get them
you ain't getting the chance.
Patterns.
Yeah, you know, our guy Justin Fields throws for almost, you know, 200 and some yards and doesn't play the whole second half.
But I think, too, when you are impressive enough – and talking about those postseason awards, I think it's going to be more than a numbers thing. If you look good as hell and you only play in a half and y'all winning, then it's going to be like, okay, he's very good. So we know we got to put him up there. Even though the number's not going to match up, you understand those circumstances.
Tua only played three quarters a game last year, and he was second in the Heisman.
Yeah.
They know what they're looking at.
Exactly. I mean, you know when you know.
I don't think Justin Fields is in any jeopardy of losing that seat in New York.
Right. Yeah, no, not at all. And didn't at some point today, we're going to go through those, you know, top Heisman guys and who you believe that probably will be getting those spots in New York. And I know it's a little bit early, but it's never too early to make predictions and judgments, man. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, looking at this team, Boom, through the first four games, give me your overall assessment. I mean, what are you thinking? Give me your overall assessment starting with the offense.
As the offense, man, I think they have done a great job. I mean, obviously, the first game, we started a little slow, but then got it going. Mm-hmm. And I think ever since we've gotten to our rhythm, that they've been rolling, man. They've been rolling from passing the ball to running the ball. And more importantly, the offensive line has looked 10 times better.
Right.
You know, this year. I think it's great that we have not just J.K. running the ball well, but you got Master Teague, who's a guy that's running well. We got some other
Crawley come in, get a tug or two.
That's what I'm saying. You got all these guys come in. We just got so much talent, so much depth that I think Coach Day is doing a great job of feeding everybody except for it being just that one guy that's just has to always, you know, had his breakout game for us to win the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, usually it's like, okay, we got that one or two guys that's having great, crazy games, but now it's like everybody eating.
It's a collective effort, man. And
which is crazy.
That's one of the things I've been more impressed about with this team is, like you said, it's been a group of individuals, and on any given day, it could be anybody stepping up, making mm-hmm. those big plays. And the other impressive thing is, like, we've been super – like vanilla. So, I mean, we haven't even began to see what Ryan Day has underneath and close to the vest. I mean, we ain't seen none of that shit. I mean, all the plays that we've run in these first four games has been things that we've seen on a repetitive. This is like the first script. Mm-hmm. We've been on the first script for the first quarter of the season, and we haven't even began to see anything. We haven't seen any trickery. We haven't seen any the routes that our receivers have been running have been goals, slants, and stops.
And we know Ryan Day got it up his sleeve.
Exactly. You talk about three routes that we're seeing our receivers run.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's no slight to, obviously, you know, our coaches and our coaching staff and our receivers' talent. It's just the fact that we don't have to do any of those things to be able to showcase their talent right now.
Yeah.
Because we're that much better than everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And then when you talk about on the defense side of the ball, I mean, thank you, Jesus. We finally, the bullets are finally flying again. I mean, lead with our guy, Chase, man. He has just been dominant, you know.
Bro, good as hell.
Dominant every game. I mean, it's a thing to get a sack, period. You know how, we never played defense, but it just seemed like it's not easy to get a sack. For this guy, he's been doing it every single week.
Right.
You know, sack, blocking field goals.
He's on pace like to break the sack record for the school in a single season, right? I mean, then I think Vern had that, right? Like,
yeah, I was going to
12 or 13 or some shit.
He had 14. Cut in, though. You played with Vern, right?
Yeah, I played with Vern.
Yeah. Does Chase make it look easier than he did?
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does.
Hey,
Vern was good as heck.
I was young.
Yeah.
I remember him, but I was young. So I was just asking.
Like, Vern was – but the one thing about Vern, he was so good, but you only seen it, like, When Vern wanted to cut it off.
Man, what? Vern was so chill, laid back, like never. He never really turned it on. Keep it real. Keep it real,
no,
man.
No, but straight up, if Vern wanted to have 25 sacks in a season, he very well could have.
Yeah, he
could have
done it.
So that's the one thing that kind of is disappointing at Ohio State when you look at, you know, Vern's career. Is like, all right, man, you see it. You see the domination, but you know it could be so much more because the dude was like a Greek god the way he was built.
I was about
and
to
he
say,
cut that motor on. Yeah. There was no stopping him.
I was just about to say, Chase Young, he ain't too far away from Vern. No, how Vern look.
No, Vern was a different animal. Look, bro. Nah, so I can't even. Vern, bro.
I said he ain't too far away.
Bro, no, he is far. Vern was like a fucking bodybuilder that was athletic as heck. Normally, you got dudes that look like bodybuilders and they stiff as a board.
Right.
That wasn't Vern at all. That dude can move. But Chase, going back to him, though, and looking at, you know, how he compares, I mean, he has that motor. He's bringing it play after play after play. We're not seeing him taking it off. Last year, that was a little bit of concern for him. And obviously, you know, rightfully so, because, you know, you got a lot of different guys rotating in there. You're a little bit younger. You're facing things that you're not used to seeing. But now it's like it clicked. He understands that, you know, I got to show this motor every single play I'm out there. And I'm not only going to be going after the quarterback, but watching him make plays in the run game. Yeah. We're watching him make plays in a pass game. So,
I mean,
dude is athletically, I mean, he's every bit as touted and probably going to be that number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you see from the defense side of the ball has just gotten better. You know, from the secondary to the linebackers to the defensive line, it's just got 10 times better, and which is I'm very happy about that because last year it was ugly. I mean, even if you look at the Nebraska game last year, Nebraska came in here and passed the ball very well on us, you know. This year, I think it's going to be a totally different thing, man, because as we just talked to our guy, David, he said that their offensive line has struggled this year. And our
I think they've been better. They're probably the best offensive line that we're going to face, that we're going to face up until this point in the season.
Yeah, but our defensive line has been awesome so far this year. So I'm expecting us to, you know, to dominate the line of scrimmage. That's my thought.
I mean, we should dominate the line of scrimmage in every game we play anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
With Chase Young and all the other names that we got on our offensive line are that good.
Yeah.
But on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I can't keep harping back to the fact that it's the same amount. Not even the same amount. It's the same guys essentially as last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many new guys are we talking about on this defense in the secondary that played awful? Not a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Probably zero.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the more impressive thing is that you got coaches that came in, that put in another system that was going to best suit the guy's athletic ability and allow them to go out and play without thinking. Mm-hmm. We don't have those mishaps as much as we did last year where guys are being out of position. It may have happened with Okuda one or two times last week, but I mean, you know, shit like that is going to get rectified. And he's good enough for when it did happen, he's able to recover and bounce back, especially versus Miami, Ohio.
And I was going to say, and I think those happened earlier in the game as well.
Right, they did.
It was one of those things where he bounced back and he showed what he was made out of, man. He's another guy who has stood out this year. You know, I think he's a great leader in the secondary, and he's playing some great ball right now.
Man, no doubt, man. I mean, and I think it's only going to get better as the season goes along. Looking at other guys on the defense, I mean, you know, Pete Warner is a guy that has stepped up. A guy that I know that is going to play a whole lot, especially this week.
Yeah.
That's going to be Brendan White. We've been talking about him. But this is one of those games to where you're going to need Brendan White, and more specifically because Adrian Martinez and what Scott Frost like to do, they like to spread it out. They like to pass the ball a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the ball a ton. So we're going to need him in there. Although Pete has played well when he's had the opportunity in coverages, mm-hmm. Brendan's going to be that guy, I think, that we see at that bullet position consistently this week. So, I mean, he's going to get his opportunity. You know, mm-hmm. He hadn't played a lot. And I know that shit was like, man, what's going on? This guy came in and balled last year. And,
I'm going to call
you know,
it now.
He was off. What you call it?
He's going to have a big game, and he's going to have a pick.
Oh, a big game and a pick. All right, I'll take it, man. You're going to need those things on the road anyways. That's something you always – that you know you're going to have to play great defense and force that team to turn over the ball.
I'm telling you, because you know how it is, Bean. He hasn't played – I mean, he's played a lot this year, but I'm saying he hasn't had that game yet that was like – to have that confidence builder.
So he hasn't been out there on the field as much either.
That's what I'm saying. I think if he's out there this week and he gets that game where he can make some plays
right.
And the plays come to him, He gonna make it happen.
Yeah, man. I think he gonna ball, man. I can't wait for this week. Because like we said, this was.
I'm honestly just ready for a good test, just to
right.
see like.
So you can really evaluate. But is this really gonna be a good test?
Honestly, in my opinion, I don't really think so. I mean, I think it's gonna be a great atmosphere for the guys going to, you know, playing on the road. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, game day, night game. I think that's good experience. But I think when it's all said and done, like getting into the game. Come on, man.
Because they really haven't beat anybody. They beat Northern Illinois.
They struggled with freaking Illinois last week.
They
man.
Beat Illinois.
Come on, man.
They lose in overtime to Colorado, who's, in my opinion, is a good football team this year.
Yeah.
Mel Tuck, Coach Tuck, who was here when I was being recruited, is a hell of a coach. And he has that team playing well. They beat Arizona State last week, which is a ranked team. But nonetheless, Nebraska ain't really beat nobody. So – it's going to be questionable if this is going to be a legitimate test for this team as well. But, man.
So, you thinking we covering the spread for sure then?
Yes. And I'm taking that one. I'm taking Ohio State at BetDSI when I go log on to cover the spread, which is what, 17 and a half or 17?
I think 16 and a half or 16. I don't know.
Somewhere it is.
It's somewhere in there.
Nebraska's a large underdog at home.
I'm gonna let you guys have 17 and a half.
17 and a half. Yep, yeah. 17 and a half. That's what it is.
I'll give you that 0.5 hook.
Right.
I'll let you guys have the hook.
It opened at 14 and And it may even.
It might rise to 22.
I just don't think that this one, it's going to be a much tougher matchup, like you said. But, I mean, I think Ohio State.
I mean, they're going to be amped up. And you know how it is. Every school, when you see Ohio State on your schedule, you circling that game. And for guys who, you know, that's a game where, you know, if you have a good game against Ohio State, your draft stock, and it could bump your draft stock a little bit more.
All right, no doubt.
You know?
There's no question.
So it's going to be one of those games where guys are going to be amped up. But, hey, we are the Ohio State, and we ain't going there to play no game. We going there to win the game, you know?
One of the things, though, that has been kind of, you know, I wouldn't say glaring or anything like that, but it's kind of been shocking is obviously the success of certain Buckeyes in the NFL. And the reason why I'm mentioning this guy, because he just has done something that has never been done before in NFL history, and that's Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. In his first three games, at least five catches and three touchdowns in each of those first three games. Never been done
straight ball
in NFL history. But while I'm mentioning this, while we're talking about you know, Ohio State's current football team, it's because when you look at Terry McLaurin in his career at Ohio State, he didn't really play a lot earlier on in his career at Ohio State. I mean, nearly three years without playing, and now he gets an opportunity. He was drafted in the third round. Now we see the success that he's having in the league, and that's a testament to a couple of different things in my mind. The coaches and the preparation that we have at Ohio State, and then the competition, and then the fact that you have all that talent at Ohio State, to where you got a guy like Terry McLaurin, he's looking damn good in the league, to where he can't play for 3 years, essentially. And now we go back and we can talk about Austin Mack, who I've had lofty expectations for his entire career here at Ohio State, and he's been banged up and injured, and now he isn't playing, or he isn't seeing, we aren't seeing the production that I would like to see, and I know he isn't seeing the production that he would like to see from himself, but the talent that we have here is crazy, but that's the one thing that I believe that's going to prevent guys from saying, you know what, I'm not getting the touches at Ohio State, I'm not getting the playing time that I want, I'm going to boat and transfer. Yeah. No, you better hold up a little bit, because you know the talent's here, you know the eyes that are going to be here. Spence, give me the cut from Austin Mack and hear him talk about a little bit of what I was just mentioning.
It's hard not to get frustrated. I mean, you know, you especially for me being a last year guy, you know, you're not going to come around many opportunities. But it's to stay humble. It's to know that Terry Lee only had 35 catches last year. It's to, you know, stay in your lane and make sure that, you know, it's a plan, it's a process, and to trust the plan. You know, try and believe in God's plan and just whatever happens, make sure I'm doing everything I can properly to be in that right spot in this season.
If it's any university that I want to be in a two deep or the three deep, it's Ohio State.
Absolutely.
It's because of reasons like that right there. You hear them talk about it's a plan, and you look at Terry McLaurin, only had 35 catches last year. Not a lot of catches, gets drafted in the third round because he's that good. He's that talented. And on a regular, you know how it was when we were here, on a regular basis you have scouts, GMs, all types of coaches popping in, checking out practice, asking the coaches, asking the training staff, okay, give me a playmaker that we really don't see on Saturdays, but you know can play. you don't get your opportunity to make it to the next level. That shit helps not only recruiting, but the guys that are on the roster. That would be motivating to me.
Man.
Terry McLaurin should be a story that's written somewhere at Ohio State. This is a guy, he only had this many catches his last year at OSU. He didn't play for this many years, but when he got his opportunity, he played well, and now look at what he's doing in the National Football League.
Bro, it's a number of guys. What he's doing is great, but like you said, playing at Ohio State, man, patience is very, very
key. It is, man.
You got to think
that transfer rule and shit is nice.
Yeah.
But you better hold up a little bit when you're going to a university like this, knowing the expectations and knowing the talent and everything else surrounding it.
I mean, you know this, Ben. I called you freshman year. I remember you and Deontay called me like, bro, relax.
Chill.
It's all going to play out, man.
Right.
I'm over here. Man, I'm transferring, man. I'm leaving. Because I was so used to being a man. You know, when you're in high school, then you come to the big stage. You got to watch. It's not about waiting your time, but your time is going to come when it's going to come, man.
Right.
And you be patient and you be ready. You know what I'm saying? You always got to stay ready.
That's the number one thing, is be ready when it come.
And be prepared, because when that play comes, that's why I was just talking about White. This week, I feel like
let's see that real quick.
He going to make a big play this week, because I'm sure he's prepared for this for the moment that's coming. So why not? Be ready. You know what I'm saying? When that play come, you make that big play, and then now everybody talking about you again.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to just name some, just right off these young guys. Garrett Wilson, who has balled when he's gotten that opportunity. The young kid Williams that we've seen for the first time, that I can remember seeing for the first time last week, get out an opportunity and ball, and two catches, 74 yards. There's just so many other guys. I mean, who's
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you. My
we watched
guy.
Crawley look in there, get his opportunity, score a touchdown. I mean, there's just a lot of players that are, when they get the opportunity, they're taking advantage of it. And you can say, yeah, it was versus Miami of Ohio, but it starts with taking advantage of the situation that you're given. And when you get your number's called, you better be going out there and ready to play, because that's the only way that you're gonna get your number called some more. And I can tell you, man, looking at Ohio State's roster, looking at some of those young guys that played. We're going to be straight for a couple of years, man.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, the guy that has been standing out to me, not just on the offense side, but making plays on special teams and everything, Alave.
Oh, man, that's a given.
He's really kind of separating himself from not saying it like that, but he's making plays where it's like,
you got to get him on the field every play. Or every game, you got to figure out ways to get the ball in his hands.
The kid is a baller.
Right.
And he knows how to make plays. And what I'm telling you, what NFL teams and scouts love is to see a guy make plays on special teams. If guys don't know how big that is, you can go back and look at a guy named Nate Ebner,
mm-hmm.
who never – I don't even think Nate ever even
took a defensive snap.
I don't remember seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And my man has won three Super Bowls.
Right.
Is it three or four?
It's probably three, somewhere in there.
Three. Been in the league for nine years now.
Has it been nine? Damn.
It's camp because hold on. No, 8 years. I'm sorry.
Still, that's
8 years.
Time, man.
Bro, Ohio State is a special place, man. To come here and play ball and have the opportunity to suit up in that uniform, man, it's a dream come true for a lot of these kids, man. A lot of these kids don't understand what they're doing. They might not understand it right now, but when you get older, like myself,
right.
Like yourself, you understand. Like, dang, man. Like sometimes I was telling my mom this other day. Like, man, I be tripping. Like, dang, man, I used to really play for Ohio State. like man, it's crazy, man. Yeah, man, but
looking at this team, looking obviously at this upcoming week, I'm not really as nervous because I don't believe Nebraska's a really good football team, although they did, you know, take Colorado to overtime. But like I said, they haven't beat anybody. But just moving forward, man, I just really, really think that we are that good, and we are that good, and we've been that vanilla on both sides of the ball. That's the more glaring and the crazier thing to me, Boom, is that the fact that, you know, I'm looking at this schedule right now. We got Nebraska. After that, we got Michigan State. Michigan State's always going to be a tough game. Not scared of them. After that, Northwestern. Then we got Wisconsin.
That's
like those 1, 2, 3, 4 games, the next four games, Wisconsin's the only game that I can circle and say, all right, that's going to be a question mark right there because.
All right. So Beans.
Go ahead.
Let's stay humble. Let's.
Well, no, that fucks that. No, this is what I see.
No. I know that. But I'm just thinking about, you know, in the past years and everything, which is, we ain't talking about the past.
Yeah, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. This is a team that's so good. We got so much depth.
I know.
I'm not scared of nobody.
I'm just saying, I don't want to sit over here jinx ourselves because, man, you know.
I ain't got to play. So
I know that.
Everyone's got to play.
I get what you're saying, but I'm saying, I think we're going to do the same thing. I feel the same way. But, man, you know how it has been when we find that one school that we just had that hiccup on that day. So I'm right. Just praying that we don't have those situations at all. But, you know, you just never know, man.
You know what? I don't think we are, man. Cause, you know,
think we passed that stage?
I do. When you look at outside of obviously last year. But yeah, last year, shit. When you look at those games in which we had the hiccups in, I'm going to go to them.
You're talking about like the Purdue game last year.
Like Purdue last year. You go back a couple of years ago. This is before Zeke. This is
Iowa.
I'm going to go back before that. Like I'm going to mention the Iowa game too. But you go back to the Big Ten championship game.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin?
The Big Ten. No, not versus Wisconsin. The Big Ten championship game versus Michigan State.
Oh, okay. Michigan State.
So you got that game. Then a couple years later, you got the Michigan State game here in the shoe. Then you got the Iowa game, and then you got the Purdue game. You got those games. You know what the common denominator was in those games? That I know Ryan Day isn't afraid to do, and not to say that Urban Meyer was afraid to do it, but nonetheless, he didn't do it. Run the fucking ball in those situations. You go back and you look at those games. Mm-hmm. You look at how we ran the ball successfully throughout those seasons, and then you go back to those certain plays.
Mm-hmm.
The play being the 4-from-1 play where we decided to run Braxton Miller when we got Carlos Hyde, who's ripping Michigan State a new asshole in this game. We run sideways with Braxton Miller. You go back to the year I'm talking about with Michigan State where we lose here in the shoe. You get Zeke has like 12 carries. Want to get pass happy for whatever reason. It was raining that night. That was the game after Zeke, you know, went back and was mad.
And then he went on a rant.
Exactly. You go back to the game versus Iowa. We wanted to get pass happy and get pretty with JT Barrett.
The first play.
Throwing the interceptions. Yep, we're not really doing the let back down.
Yeah.
You go back to last year. We threw the ball 50-something times. It was a record. Now, we had Dwayne Haskins had a phenomenal game. The record was crazy. But we should have been running the ball, chewing up the clock, playing solid defense. Those are the things that I know Ryan Day isn't afraid to do. You know why I know he isn't afraid to do it? Because he's done it. When things get rough, when he figures out, all right, maybe I need to switch it up a little bit. We've seen him run the ball out of the I formation. That's something that changes a mentality of a football team when you're running the ball. You know, like I know, the offensive lineman, when you line up in those situations, you're not doing reach, and you're saying, fuck it, I'm going to go man on man, mano a mano, I'm going to bully you.
Hey.
Those type of situations we didn't see in years past in those games that I'm talking about. Now I think we have that with Ryan Davis. So that's why I can sit here confident and say I'm not really too scared. When the going gets tough, I don't think we're going to get pass happy. We got a couple of running backs we can get a ball to in those situations.
Let me tell you something. You just broke that shit down so good, bro. I got to give you props.
Appreciate it.
You just broke that shit down so good that you just gave me more confidence of why we ain't losing no damn games this year and why I said we going undefeated this year. That's why I said we going undefeated this year.
Luke's about to run through a brick wall. That ball behind
him. Man.
No, but man, this season, man, I've never felt more confident in an Ohio State football team.
But you was looking at me crazy when I said that we was going to go undefeated.
But you said this shit before we seen anything.
Because I'm seeing like, you seen it before.
Not even a practice. You just say, oh, you know, I got this Buckeye pride and I think we're going undefeated. Like, come on, man. Give me something to go along with it.
Hey, now you see what I'm saying, bro.
No, I do, man. I do. I think we're in a good shape. I love Ryan Day. I love what we're seeing. Real quick, man, I can't help but mention this university, and that's the School of North, and it's because of how bad they've been looking. And it started with the Army game. They somehow managed to get out of that, and then you face this Wisconsin football team.
And you make them look like they're great.
Well, Wisconsin is a good football team, I believe.
They're good.
But I think it was more so Michigan or Wisconsin making Michigan look like they were a MAC team. Like, how bad does it have to be to where you have your Heisman Trophy, your end-all, be-all guy, and Charles Woodson on national TV sitting there hugging Urban Meyer? I don't know if y'all seen this on Fox Sports. Hugging Urban Meyer, talking about how embarrassed he was of the Michigan program. Damn, that shit got to be tough.
Hey. You don't just, you hear from a, you know, we're friends with a lot of past players.
Right.
And for a long time, they were, lately, they be like, man, we suck, man.
That's bad.
You got to make some changes.
But, and I know we always going to talk Buckeyes, but man, but shit, what do you do with Jim Harbaugh? That's the question. That's the main. What do you do with Jim Harbaugh?
When he first came in,
there was these lofty expectations based off of what he was able to do at Stanford. Then he goes to the 49ers. Yeah. And has an amazing career. He gets to the Super Bowl. Did some good things at San Diego State. He gets to Michigan, and he just looks, can't beat a rival, whether Ohio State or Michigan State.
His record is awful.
And now it's awful for his ranked team.
Yeah, the top 10. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Boy, I mean, if you're 0-4 against Ohio State, that's like – I feel like at Ohio State, and this is just my opinion, you lose to the team up north one time, it's like, okay, we got y'all, hey, we got our eye on you now, goddamn. You lose to them twice, all right, now we interviewing some plugs, some other coaches right
behind
now.
Behind the curtain.
Bro, three times? Oh, yo, it's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro.
And they have been very... I don't know if I want to say patient because
they've been patient.
It's
5 years.
I mean, you got to think about it. They've only beaten Michigan State. I think they might
twice.
2-2 since he's been there.
Yeah.
That's
not good. Not good.
He's 14-11 away from the big house.
14-11 in away games. Like,
you know, they are a top 10 program, right? Top 10 every year in the standings.
Right.
14-11.
That's
away from the big house, which I didn't even believe. I had to look it up.
That's embarrassing.
And his record against top ten teams, I think it was. I think he only got like he got one win.
That's embarrassing, man. And I can't believe it, man. Even guys like our very own man, Joey Galloway. I was watching him on College Football Live, and Joey's my boy.
Dude.
I love Joey. But he had Michigan winning the Big Ten as the best team in the Big Ten. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I thought he said they was going undefeated. Ohio State was going undefeated this year.
He may have said that at this point in time, but I thought he had Michigan. Joey, I'm sorry. We'll erase this if I'm wrong. But I remember him picking Michigan to win the Big Ten.
Nah, I think that's wrong, bro.
Somebody's getting ready to correct me. Somebody's looking it up, please. Somebody look that up, please.
That's wrong.
I really want to see if I was wrong or not on that. But I really thought hear him pick Michigan.
No, that's wrong, bro.
I hope I am wrong.
Because Joey, I could have sworn Joey said that Ohio State was going undefeated this year and that they was going to win the Big Ten and all that.
But there were so many guys, even off of, you know.
Joey said Ohio State's going to go undefeated. I can't find anything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Joey. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to hold you down, Joe.
I thought he was one of those guys that maybe it was just too many on ESPN that was saying this shit,
man.
That people had Michigan winning the Big Ten. Like, how? What have they done to prove that they won the Big Ten? They lost two of their best coaches to the other side. What are they doing?
They ain't been to the playoffs. They ain't been to the Big – they ain't won the Big Ten championship since –
That's what – bro. And so many people who picked him. That's why I just don't get it, man. I'm sorry again, Joey, man. I was going to throw him –
Joey said he liked Nebraska preseason, but Ohio State –
Okay, so he's like Nebraska preseason, but he picked Ohio State. I was getting ready to just roll him out in front of a bus for no reason.
and
basically get life in jail for killing an innocent man.
Right.
No, but I just can't believe it, man. And that shit's just embarrassing. I don't know what you do with Jim Harbaugh. I mean, when you break it all the way down and looking at that team and how they've been from the different head coaches, he's been one of the better head coaches when you look at the record.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Hoke and better, certainly better than Rich Rodriguez.
But I just feel like we've been getting coaches fired over there. Like, come on over here so you can get fired.
They should have been grateful for Lord Carr.
Come on over here and get fired. Well, they thought that they were this great university.
Right.
Don't knock me. I mean, they've done some good things. I ain't saying I got any love for them, but they've done some good things as a university.
What?
But I'm talking about in like in the '80s and the '90s.
Yeah,
like
that. That shit don't count.
I know, but I'm just saying.
That's a, like beyond like 10, 15 years. Like I'm not counting that shit, man. They haven't done anything I'm great the same in the last way. 15 years.
But that's their biggest argument. What's the all-time record though?
Bro, man, what have you done for me lately?
I'm not thinking about
it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, forget the all-time record. I'm talking about the last 10 or 15 years.
Boom. Who is your – it's early, but we got to talk about it. Me, top five guys you think are in the Heisman running. Give them to me. Give me an order.
Dang it. Order,
give
bro?
Me an order, man.
Probably what's buddy from Oklahoma?
Jalen
probably won right now because he's having a great year. Obviously, I haven't seen what he's done the last 2 weeks. I know the first couple of games he went crazy. Two would probably be Tua.
Tua?
Yeah.
At number two?
I mean,
he's been that impressive to you?
I mean, he put up good numbers. All right. Three, I guess.
Respect your top five. I'm going to respect your top five.
Three would probably be, probably Justin, honestly. What you got there?
There's some player names.
Oh, okay.
Hey, look.
The current odds.
The odds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad.
Boom, you got to have Burrow in there.
Huh?
You got to have Joe
Burrow. That was my number two.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the top five real quick, man. Come on, give it to me.
All right, so we'll go Jalen,
mm-hmm.
Burrow,
okay.
Fields, and then probably Tua. And I'm putting Chase Young in there.
You just had Tua at two. Which one? What are we doing?
Hmm?
We just had Tua at two, didn't you?
No. I said Burrows.
You just changed it?
Yeah.
Initially, the Tua was the second name that you just gave.
No, I changed it.
All right, cool. All right.
Hey, bro.
All right, I'm just making sure, man. I want you to top five to be
did y'all see my top change? Five. Oh, why am I tripping? All right, cool.
Camera doesn't lie. We got a camera. But
yours then, man. Say what you got to say, bro.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I think he's been phenomenal running the pass. And he looks better than Kyler Murray. And that's the crazy thing. He looks better than Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield did in their Heisman years. Yeah. And the numbers that he's going to put up are going to be very, very comparable.
Come on.
Joe Burrow at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Joe looked phenomenal, putting up great numbers. Then I'll probably go Tua at number three. I'm on Tua at number three.
Over Justin?
Yeah, over Justin. I mean, Justin is his first year.
The numbers
have been good. They haven't just been like jaw-dropping.
All right, anyways.
They've been pretty good.
So four is Justin.
Then I'm going to go Justin Fields. And then I'm taking the page out of your book, man. I'm splitting my fifth position. I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
The running back at Wisconsin. The dude's a fucking animal.
He's been
good since his freshman year.
He's been killing.
And Chase Young. Those two are splitting 50-50 my fifth place vote.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a vote, that would be where we are through four games, that would be my top five, mm-hmm. five and a half, I can call it.
Chase Young, good defensive player of the year?
Yeah. But they don't have a defensive player of the year in college football. What's the big award? No, they don't have a defensive player of the year. You got like the Bednarik and
whatever
you know, all those other awards.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, all right, my bad.
You got an offensive. You got a Big Ten defensive player of the year. That's what you're talking about.
Right, yeah. Well, we know he's going
to talk about national awards.
No
national. I don't think defensive or offensive player of the year in football.
They do have like the Walter Camp.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, so those type of things.
The Maxwell Award is the best offensive player.
Right.
And then the defensive player, I think you're right, is like the Bednarik Award.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
But it got a specific name.
Oh,
for
okay. Okay. Well, my bad.
Technically, it's defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I knew what you were saying.
I didn't. Well, my bad.
I need you to clarify that shit.
All right, my bad, buddy.
No, but those are my top five guys, man. I would love.
All right, I know it's early. Give me your four teams in the playoffs then.
Oh, man. Ohio State.
No, give me an order.
Oh, man, I don't think it really matters. Order. You get four teams in there. Shit. It's going to be the conference champions. It's going to be the conference champions that are going to be in there. So give me Ohio State. Give me Oklahoma. Give me Clemson and give me Alabama. I'm not seeing that one of those deals to where we have a three-team out of the SEC getting there like people believe. I don't know. Who are the three teams in the SEC that will get there? I mean, you can say Georgia and Alabama, but who else in the SEC?
But they got to play each other.
Yeah, but I mean, we still had a year where both of them were able to make it. But, I mean, I don't see a third team out of the SEC. I know I heard something on ESPN and somebody saying there could legit be three teams out of there that make it in the college football player. I don't see it at all. But, yeah, those are the teams I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who you got?
I'm right with you.
Yeah, man. It's
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Right. Clemson is right the now. One iffy team. I love Trevor Lawrence and what he could do, but
I feel like they're getting popped this year, though.
I do too.
I mean,
I'm picking them until they show me otherwise, so they do lose.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100% confident in them.
Yeah, even Trevor. I mean, he don't get me wrong. He's a great quarterback. He's still good, but I just don't see. I haven't seen a lot of growth.
Out of Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
Yeah, that motherfucker's good, man.
I'm saying he's good. He's good.
I see the growth. I seen all I need to see out of him. I mean,
I haven't seen I feel like he's doing the same thing he was doing last year, which was great.
Amazing. Right. I mean, what more do I need to see? I mean, I think last year, if he would have been eligible, he would have been the number one pick coming out.
I ain't making no sense right now.
So I don't want to see no more of it, man. Hey.
Oh, man, that's silly. I guess I was just trying to make something.
It's all good, man. It happens. Happens to the best.
Right.
What you got on the NFL tip, though, man? There's always a bunch of drama going on with that.
Browns.
You watched the Browns game last week?
Who didn't watch it?
How did the Browns get back-to-back primetime games?
Odell Beckham. Duh. And Baker. And I don't know. They just got a lot of guys, so everybody want to see him. I mean.
And then you piss down your leg last week. And we got this bet. And Will,
you and I know about this bet.
Will's showing a picture right now of different steaks and steakhouses.
Hey, bro, you done.
The bet was if the Browns won 9 or more games, Will has to take me and whoever to a steakhouse of my choosing wherever in the country. No, we didn't say wherever in the country. Down where the Super Bowl is. We solidified that, right?
Yeah, I thought it was 10 games. It's 10. 10 or more, you win.
No, I thought it was 9.
Hell, come on. We got tape. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way 10 games.
I thought it was 9.
We're going to have to go back and look at the tape. We got the tape. But nonetheless, if
either or, it don't matter because they ain't winning 9 or 10 games.
They look so they look so bad. And you know,
but their next 5 games, bro, it's
a gauntlet, man.
They probably going to lose next week. They play Baltimore at Baltimore.
It's going to be scary. They're probably going to lose that game. And one of the things that I'm seeing, though, is Baker Mayfield.
They got film on that boy now, man.
No, I don't think it's that, man. I think the coach has put him in a bad situation. I mean, you're asking Baker Mayfield to go and throw the ball a bunch because of the names that you have on this roster that look so enticing. You know, I got to get the ball in these guys' hands.
They got to let Chubb eat, man.
Run the ball.
And then let play it open action, it up. Yeah.
And just dip and dot your way through. That was one of the reasons why we seen Baker Mayfield be so good last year.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have anybody to force the ball to. Mm-hmm. You say Jarvis Landry, he got his catches, but he was like that one go-to guy. Now he's looking at Jarvis. He's looking at Odell. He's looking when Njoku was there. He's looking at Njoku. He's looking at Higgins. He's looking at guys to try to get the ball to him instead of just throwing to the open man. And that's causing him, along with that, he's not able to stand in the pocket. The Browns' offensive line is terrible. But Baker is holding on to the ball too long.
Yeah. And did you see when they were down in the red zone?
That was a look.
I know, but did you see the opening gates?
Yeah, but you saw that from a picture perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
You know how I know. When you look at those pictures only tell half the story because there's a whole other side that somebody could have been right there and will close in on Baker's ass so quick.
Right. I agree.
I asked you 2 weeks ago what you thought about Freddie Kitchens.
I liked Freddie.
If we're going to start to think maybe he shouldn't have been the guy.
Right.
Because of all these talents, but also all these personalities.
So what
are you starting to feel even more? And then the second question I'm going to tee up for you is, why is Freddie having these guys run 4 verticals on 3rd and 8 when you know the offensive line's bad?
It's been embarrassing to watch because Freddie called these plays.
Because he feel like he got these guys that – I mean, he does have the guys that can run. But
that was just the dumbest shit in the world. When you look at the down and distance in those situations, it's like, what are you doing?
Cross him out or something.
But it's been embarrassing, and I am questioning it now. Because when you go back and you look at Freddie, and you look at Freddie throughout his career, outside of last year, a couple of games, Freddie's never been a coordinator. And I thought, all right, man, you don't need to be a coordinator. You don't need to have been a coordinator to come in and be a successful head coach. All you needed to be able to do is be a good manager of people in a way and the ability to be able to motivate guys. And I thought Freddie had that quality. I thought he had that trait. But what I'm seeing right now is him trying to be the coordinator, him still calling the plays and trying to manage everybody. No, you got to relinquish something. You got to give it up a little bit to somebody else. And that's something I believe wholeheartedly Freddie has to reevaluate about himself is like, hey, if I'm going to be successful with this thing and I'm going to be a good head coach, maybe I need to delegate a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's what the greats do anyways. Get a good-ass defensive coordinator, get a good-ass offensive coordinator, hold those guys accountable. So at the end of the day, you don't look like the fall guy. You don't want to be the fall guy. If my offense isn't playing good and the plays, play selection isn't up to the standard, and which is going to allow us to be successful, I need to have somebody else I can point at and say, you know, it's your fault, you're doing that wrong. Not for it all to be on me. Because at the end of the day, if that shit keeps looking how it's looking, you better believe it's the Browns we're talking about. They can care less about getting rid of a head coach. We've seen it happen on numerous occasions. Mm-hmm. They better get that shit right. Because I ain't trying to pay for this high-ass steak that I know Will's going to order.
Ooh,
I know that much.
Hey, he going to run it up on you like a rookie dinner.
Man. Too, right?
Oh, the champagne. Hey, so enough about the Browns.
All right, that's my spiel. I get emotional.
They really been pissing me off because I kind of jumped on the bandwagon. Now I'm about to jump off that one again. But anyways, I know I'm tired of talking about this guy, and I only want to ask you just one question because we don't even got to go into details because I feel like we talk about this guy almost every week.
Right.
Will Antonio Brown play in the NFL again? I know that he's went on his rants on social media saying that, you know, he's done. He's
enrolled in school,
which is, I was talking to my neighbor about it. He said, did you look at the classes that he's taking? They're terrible. I said, man, hey, he's trying to do something, but you got to do something positive because it's been all negativity for Antonio Brown in 2019 from the time that he signed with the Raiders from the time to now. So, I just want to, on your thoughts, do you think that the guy will play again?
Yes, he'll play again. Antonio Brown, whether you like it or not, you look at the talent, you look at the numbers, you look at the production, he's one of the best receivers to ever play in the National Football League.
Okay.
I mean, there's no way he's going to not play again in his prime. Will he sit out this year?
This year.
Maybe not. Maybe he'll sit out the rest of the year till we get all this legal stuff figured out. Maybe a team won't want to touch it. But will he play again? Yes. Will he have another 1,000-yard season? Yes. He's that good. And you know what? I heard Ryan Clark say it, and I've heard numerous people say it, not just about Antonio Brown, but just in general. We live in America. I don't think there's anything Americans love more than a redemption story. Oh, this guy's been through it all. He's had this to deal with this. He has to face these naysayers. He had to deal with this. He had to deal with that.
And he was still successful.
And he still overcame. Like, dude, I mean, like, legit. I mean, you got people out there who could have been the worst fucking human beings there possibly are that were possibly created on Earth. But you know what? They go. They do a little bit of time. They stay away from the spotlight. They do two good things, and now they're redemption. Redemption story, the redemption tour is there.
Yeah.
And everybody's loving it.
And you know what's so crazy? It's funny how everybody's just bashing him right now, talk about him all bad. But I'll tell you one thing. If all this stuff come back and he's all clear of everything, everybody going to be right back on that bandwagon. They're going to want to sign him.
It's a redemption story, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I know two teams that won't want to sign him.
Pittsburgh.
And Oakland.
Shh, man.
But you, believe it or not, you know who would take him back probably once he was all clear?
The Patriots.
New England would take him. Even all the shit that he went out and tweeted and said about Robert Kraft, they're going to chalk that up because Bill Belichick is about one thing and one thing only. Winning. If you can help his team win and you're not going to be a distraction off the field, they will sign you in a heartbeat.
Man, the way this whole story has went on, it feel like 50 Cent is almost like writing another power
script.
Or something. Yeah, a script and he's telling like, hey, R.A.B., you gonna go there. You gonna talk bad about this owner.
Right.
But later on, we're gonna turn it around some way, somehow, that you gonna sign back with them. And it's just gonna be, everything gonna be love and gravy. Man, I don't know. I think he plays again.
There's no question about it.
I kind of feel bad for the guy, though. I don't feel bad for him.
Man. How do you feel bad for somebody who done all the dumb shit and said all the... Like, stay away from your fucking phone. You'll probably still be with a team.
That's why.
Bottom line, don't touch your phone and respond to everything that somebody says, and you'd still be on the team.
Hey, I don't know if you seen it, but O.J. Simpson... they had this the video of him on the golf course, and he was like, if there's any advice I can give Antonio, that'll be the first thing I tell him. Just don't say nothing right now. With everything that's going on, just don't say nothing. I'm thinking in my head like, OJ, man, shut your ass up.
Hey, you better listen to OJ. OJ got off. When it comes to shit, when it comes to certain things, you might want to listen to OJ. OJ know how to get you out of some shit, huh?
Oh, man, you crazy. Moving on.
No, I want to talk about this dude. Moving on.
Who?
This was a dude that I killed coming out. I thought the New York Giants made the worst decision in drafting Daniel Jones.
Dang, Beans, I was going to get to it.
All right, but I want to jump in it right now, man. Daniel Jones goes out in his NFL debut.
And balls.
And looks pretty good. What you going
to
say?
I'm about to say, and Saquon got hurt. So it wasn't like he was back there to take some of the pressure off of him. Like, my dog went out there and balled, and not just throwing the ball. He scored a rushing touchdown.
And the fact that he looked that good, 23 of 36, 336 yards, two TDs through the air, then another two on the ground. But the fact that this was something that New York hadn't seen, and what that was the fact that you get into a huddle, you're going down the drive, you're going down to score and try to win the game, and he's saying in the huddle to his guys, let's go fucking score. That's something that I know they had to be like, huh? We never seen nothing like this from Eli. Never. Now, we can sit there and say they were playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who aren't a very good football team. Or you can be like, all right, no, this is it. This is our guy. And in my mind, I'm like, that's their guy right there. And I know it was only one game, so I'm not going to apologize for my comments. I still think Dwayne Haskins was better, even though I can't prove it yet because Daniel Jones went out and looked good. Nonetheless, this situation is going to want to come back and slap everybody in the face that was talking shit about the Giants and making the decision to draft him early.
You know it'd be sweet, though? Because they play the Redskins this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know it'd be sweet? As if the Redskins and Gruden finally pulled the trigger.
Nope,
and I don't Haskins. No. I said, all right, no, he's not. That's not probably going to happen until he get fired.
I don't even want to see it, so I don't even think it'd be sweet.
I mean, I just think it'd be... All right, Beans.
No, you go ahead and you say what you say.
No.
I just don't want to see this shit.
I'm just saying, I think it'd be cool. Like, all right, these was the cats that Haskins was supposed to go 6-10 to the Giants. But what if Haskins come out and he ball on the Giants? That wouldn't be dope.
No, that would be awesome if
okay,
you
then. That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to see it because I look at how bad the Washington Redskins look. I mean, the offensive line is like
god awful, huh?
Garbage. I mean, do you think I want my first round draft pick going out there without the best one of the best offensive tackles in the game and Trent Williams because he's feuding with the team? No. So if I'm them, fuck what Gruden got to say. I'm gonna listen upstairs to Bruce Allen and those guys that are you know, making the decisions. Bruce Allen, I may be giving the wrong name. What's the is Bruce Allen the president there? No, he's not.
Moving on.
Snyder.
Snyder is the owner. Who's Bruce Allen? Bruce Allen, he plays a role there with Washington, right? I think so. I'm not too far off. But nonetheless, I wouldn't want Dwayne Haskins going out there with the way they look, man.
Hey, speaking of quarterbacks, what do you think about this Gardner Minshew guy from Jacksonville?
I think he's all right. I'm not overly impressed. I mean, guys, he looked decent in some games. I mean, he got a pretty cool mustache outside of that. What am I going to do?
I tell you what I think about it. I think he is milking it all up right now. I think he went 6th round.
Yeah.
And what he's doing is he's bringing attention to himself because the way he dresses, the mustache, the way that he goes in with the media. Like, I think he's doing his job.
Man, exactly.
On and off the field. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know, you gotta sell yourself and make sure that personality is going to sell, especially if you're in a situation to, who knows? You may not be out there on that team in a couple of weeks.
If
you start looking bad.
Okay. If you're a owner right now of a team, Beans, and you have the chance to go out and get Jalen Ramsey, what are your thoughts on that? Like, are you trading for him?
Yeah, I would. He's that good. He's good enough to where I feel like if he was to go in another situation, yeah, I think he'll be able to see it. He's going to take the right situation. If I'm just any old team, I'm not going out there giving up stuff for him. But
what's the team?
He's young. He's good.
I mean, he can help somebody's team in a heartbeat.
Where can you see him landing?
I haven't looked at like certain teams out there, but one of the teams that probably does have things or pieces to give away that could probably use him, and they're a playoff team already, and this will probably make them a Super Bowl. They're already a Super Bowl caliber team. Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Get them a one-on-one lockdown man-to-man corner. They already got a pretty good defense anyways.
Yeah.
I've seen some stuff. A guy like that back there. Yeah.
I've seen some stuff with saying that it's a possibility that he could land there. Yeah. I'm looking at some of the teams who are actually
on time.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, this is the last couple things.
All right.
I'm looking at some of the teams that are undefeated that is very surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
You got the freaking Bills who are undefeated.
Yeah.
The freaking 49ers are undefeated.
Yeah.
The freaking Green Bay Packers are undefeated, which is I know they have a great quarterback,
but he
don't got nothing around
the defense.
There.
I mean, they got a defense. This is one of the first times you can sit there and say that the Green Bay has a legit defense. You go to the 49ers, they look they ain't played anybody. You look at the Bills, they had maybe one game in there, but they look solid. 3-0 start is much better than a 1-2 start, nonetheless, or a 0-3 start. So they're a team to watch. In NFL, but before we get out of here, we got to go to our Bet DSI picks. Boom, I'm going to give you three games, rattle them off. I'm going to give you the spread, and you let me know. These are the three games that I see. This off bet, obviously, Ohio State, Nebraska, that's going to be one of them. I'm taking the Buckeyes.
Or
it's minus 17, yeah. Okay. All right, this is another one. Where'd it go? I just saw. This is Alabama versus Ole Miss. Alabama minus 37.5.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's one of them ones right there.
Damn.
Ole Miss is a 2-2 team.
Yeah, not no.
You don't think Alabama's gonna cover that?
Where's that game at?
I wanna say it's at Alabama. Yeah, it's at Alabama.
What time is the game?
3:30.
They would not cover that.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and I think Alabama covers that. Minus 37.5.
Make sure you write that down.
Yeah. So that one right there. And then I'm going to go, let me see, what other big games do we have this week?
That's an SEC, that's a big game.
No, I'm saying what other big games do we have this week?
No.
You're talking about general, okay. let me go here, Red. Penn State versus Maryland. Penn State minus 6.5, what you got?
I don't know, because Maryland been,
Maryland's 2-1.
But they've been playing some football. This year.
They're 2-1.
Where the game at?
It's at Maryland.
I'm picking upset.
So you're taking Maryland to win the game?
To win the game.
And against the spread.
Give me 3 points for Maryland.
Well, so the spread
can you
is
do
minus
that?
6.5.
You can't do that, huh?
Yeah.
Michigan Rutgers minus 27.5.
Rutgers minus 27.5. I am taking Rutgers in that situation. I don't think Michigan covers the spread. I think Michigan will win a game. I definitely don't think they cover the spread.
No. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm taking Penn State
on that game?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. But Michigan Rutgers, it's so bad that we're at a point in time where we're talking that bad about Michigan football.
Before we get out of here, Cincinnati is 0-3. Pittsburgh is 0-3.
Stop. We got to go to at BetDSI.com to make those bets and those wagers. Beanie 100 promo code. All right.
I was gonna bring this into Bet DSI. Oh,
okay,
go ahead. You got two teams who are 0-3. Who will get their first win this week?
I don't know who they're playing. You mean who they're playing?
No, I just said Pittsburgh Steelers and Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, versus each other. Okay, all right, they're playing each other. Pittsburgh's gonna win that game.
Heck no.
Without Big Ben.
Heck no.
I think so, man.
You got Pittsburgh winning too?
Yeah, Pittsburgh's gonna win that game, man.
No, Pittsburgh's
gonna run the football. They're gonna run the ball.
They're done.
But that's a wrap on Beanie the Boom. Appreciate you guys tuning in to the show. Check us out on YouTube, on everything there is out there, all the podcast websites.
Yeah, hey, go Bucks, man.
Hey, and don't forget to go to @LettermanRoe.com. Check out the Letterman Row store. Go get some Beanie the Boom gear. We got stickers, we got t-shirts. Get some Letterman Row gear. Yeah, that's a wrap on the show. Thanks a lot.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.